All right, let's sing a little.
Wow. Y'all are clapping. Hey, here's what I want you to do real quick. We're going to take just about 20 seconds, and I want to ask you to do something again. We're going to pray for each other again, because here's the deal. Sexual purity is, I think, more than any area in your life, a stronghold that Satan has. And if he doesn't yet, there's a possibility that he will. More than any area of a young person's life, teenager, middle school, high school, college student, is this area of sexual purity. And I truly believe that if you can give that to God, you can give him any area of your life. We talked about that tug of war deal on Sunday. And we, many of us, have for so long thought that our sexual purity and who we are sexually really has nothing to do with our relationship with God. And so we watch things, and we listen to things, and we say things, and we do things that don't honor God, and we think it's okay. And so I want you tonight to do this for me. You're not even going to close your eyes. I just want you to pray for the person next to you. I want you to pray that God would give them a soft heart to receive whatever that God would want to teach them tonight. That tonight they wouldn't make a commitment because I think they should or because you think they should, but they would make a commitment based on what they hear about truth from God's Word tonight. All right? Just be praying that for the person on your left and on your right. Not only once you close your eyes, I want it to really freak you out because you can talk to God with your eyes open. Okay? So do that. Hallelujah. All right, here's where we're going tonight. Go ahead and bring that up. Sexual purity. How can a young man keep his way pure? How can a young woman keep his way pure? How can you as a believer in Christ be pure? And we're talking about sexual purity. And the idea for us is this, that we want to be sexually pure, right? We just saw this video about sex and all these people that said, I'm going to wait. I want to wait. I know God tells me to wait, and I want to do that. I want to be able to one day say to my wife or my husband, I saved this awesome gift for you. I saved my sexuality. I saved my virginity for you, and I want to give it to you. So here's the question. Is sex outside of marriage okay? No. Okay, right. That's the church answer. But why? Why is sex outside of marriage not okay? Why is it wrong? Okay? Now, you don't have to answer this because I'm about to tell you. Go ahead. Number one, it's a sin. 1 Corinthians 6:18. Flip there with me if you got your Bibles open. We're not going to flip around a ton, but I want you to go here because you need to know this verse. You need to put this verse. First of all, you need to stop talking. But second of all, you need to think about this verse. And you need to put this verse on your forehead, on your mirror. You need to put this verse, yes, on your dates. Yeah, that's good. And dates. Dates. That's better. Whatever you said is dates. I know, on your gates. You're talking about Deuteronomy. Yeah, I know. But you need to put it on your dates. You need to get them to get a tattoo that says this right here. Flee from sexual immorality. Period. Flee from sexual immorality. And if you don't, it's a sin. Period. It's a big deal to God that we saved this. Now, we'll go to number two. Your body is not your own. Next verse. Do you not know, verse 19, your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God. You are not your own. Now, what does that mean to you and I? It means this. You can't, if you're a believer, if you're a Christian, if you at some point in your life have given your life to Christ and you are trying to follow Him, guess what? Your body is not yours anymore. You can't just do with it what you want. Now, that's talking about food, all kinds of good stuff, but especially sexually. Your body is not yours. You can't just give it to whoever you want. You can't just do with it whatever you want. You know what the Bible says? You have got to honor God with your body. It's a temple of the Holy Spirit. The living God dwells within you if you're a believer. And your body is His temple. And your body should honor Him. And if it doesn't in your dating life or in whatever with your sexuality, then that's a big deal. That's a good reason for you to pursue or to stay away from sex outside of marriage. Now, here's number three. It is a gift intended for marriage. You heard that. One of the girls said it's this awesome gift that is designed for the confines of marriage in Genesis. From the very beginning, the very first relationship we see, God said, so for this reason, you'll leave your mother and father and you'll join and you'll become one. Sex is this really cool gift God gives us that it's intended to bring oneness. It's intended for you two to connect in a way that you can't in any other way. Okay? And it's this cool gift, but go to this last thing. Anytime we distort God's gifts, I want you to hear this. Anytime, not just sexually, but any gift, you distort God's gifts, they're going to bring you more pain than they will pleasure. Not just any time, let me say every time. Every time you distort a gift that God has given us and has intended for us to use in certain confines, anytime you distort that, and what I mean by that is use it in a way it wasn't intended to be used, it's going to bring you more pain than it is pleasure, especially with sex. Hey, in the moment, sex is going to bring you a lot of pleasure. But when you get out of that moment, let me tell you what it's going to do. It's going to leave a lot of emotional scars. It's going to leave a lot of baggage. It's going to leave you with a lot more emptiness than it will fulfillment. And you're going to end up going from relationship to relationship, looking for more fulfillment. And I got to find that again. And it's got to be something physical, because that's the way I feel loved. And you're going to carry all that baggage into the next relationship, and you're going to build more scars. And you're going to leave that next relationship feeling even emptier, because you're looking for something in sex that can't be found. Here's this awesome gift. And here's what's cool about it. Laura and I's marriage is awesome, okay? And the sex is a gift. It's not why we got married. Hey, can I just tell you this, and maybe this is just a little too honest for you, and you can deal with it, I don't care. I'm not going to talk about our sex life, so just everybody just chill out. This gift that God has given us, and as cool and as awesome as sex is, now that I've got to have it, it wouldn't be worth having it before I got married. It's not that good. It's not that cool of a gift that I'd be willing to sacrifice how cool it is for us as being married. That I would have just thrown that away to say, man, I feel like having sex tonight. Who's willing? It's not that good, I'm telling you. And I'm just going to tell you this, and we're going to read a testimony from a girl later about the baggage and the scars that come with that. And so here's the deal. We all know you're not supposed to have sex outside of marriage. We know that. But I want to read you some... go ahead. There's so much more to sex than just getting naked. I want to read you some of these stats, okay? 20% of girls will get pregnant in 2007. Girls having sex. This year, 20%. Stop. 20% will get... Okay, you can read. 43% of unplanned pregnancies used a condom. Almost. Okay, yeah, that's what that word means. Or birth control, okay, of some sort. That's what that word means. 50%, basically, we'll round it up. 1 out of every 2. 43 out of every 100 people that had sex got pregnant out of that. Go ahead. 40% of teen pregnancies end in abortion. What that means for you, ladies in the room, is that 4 out of every 10 of you, if you have sex, you will give that baby, well, you'll let it be killed. That's a big percentage. Go ahead. Most teen mothers drop out of school and go ahead to this next one. They end up on welfare. So if sex is this thing that you think is all great, let's just assume you don't get pregnant. But what if you do? The stats say, stop, go back. Go back. Just hit the back arrow. That's okay. Stay there then. Most teen mothers drop out of school. That's a big deal. And this is the scariest one to me right here. In a single sex act, a teenage girl has 1% chance of contracting AIDS, 30% chance of contracting genital herpes, and 50% of gonorrhea. This is what that means for you. You mess up one time. You went too far just one time. And there's a 50% chance you will get an STD. That's a big deal. 43%, 30% chance. It doesn't really matter what the STD. 50% chance if you just mess up one time. In a single sex act. And can I tell you how many people I know that said, man, I don't know how we did it. We just messed up this one time. We never planned on doing this. We had decided we were going to be pure. And we were over at each other's house too late one night. We started fooling around a little too much. I think I've told you all this story, but I was serving at First Baptist Concord. Two juniors, awesome kids, good looking. One of the track star, probably going to go to college on a pole vaulting scholarship. She was beautiful. I think she was doing some modeling stuff. Awesome leaders in the student ministry. Had sex one time. She got pregnant. Kept the baby. They got married when they were seniors in high school. Changed their life. He ended up getting a job at a car maintenance place, changing oil. Nothing wrong with that. She ended up being a stay-at-home mom, trying to get her education, being an 18-year-old girl trying to raise a baby and figure out what that means and being married at the same time. You want to know why? Because they messed up one time. They messed up one time. One time it went a little too far. And you say, well, that's not me. That's not me because I'm not going to have sex. I've decided, I have nailed it down that I am not going to have sex. Period. But can I tell you this? That's the exact same thing they said. So what do? Here's what you do. You realize that sexual purity is way more than just not having sex. Your sexual purity, I want your eyes up here. Your sexual purity is way more than you just saying, I'm not going to have sex. You can read up there, Ephesians 5:3. But among you, there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality. So let me ask you this question. Then what is this idea of sexual purity? What if it's not just not having sex, then what is this idea of sexual purity? Well, here's the definition of purity. Having a homogeneous or uniform composition. Okay? Whatever. Free from adulterants or impurities. Okay? Having no faults. That's one we can all get. Having no faults or blemishes or mistakes. That's purity. That is what it means to be pure. Now let's apply that to our sexuality. And that's what sexual purity means. Having no, go back, faults. Having no blemishes on our sexually pure record is what that means. I want you to see that Jesus totally revolutionized this idea of sexual purity. It's found in Matthew 5:28. And I want to read some more of that passage to you. If you got your Bible, you can flip over there. If not, you can just listen. But Matthew 5, we're going to start in 27. He says this, "You have heard it said, do not commit adultery." Okay? We get that. Don't have sex outside of marriage. Okay. "But I'm telling you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery." He goes on to say, if your right eye causes you to sin, poke it out. And I don't think he's saying it as a metaphor. I think Jesus literally meant, if there is something within you that causes you to sin, you need to get rid of it at whatever cost. He says your sexual purity starts with a thought, looking at a woman lustfully. Your sexual impurity, girls, can start with this: I'm not pretty enough. Nobody loves me. You're like, what's that got to do? Does that make me sexually impure? No. But here's what Satan does with that thought. He says, you know, that guy loves you. So just do whatever he asks. That guy thinks you're pretty. So just do whatever he asks you to do. And can I tell you, that is the way Satan works. And Jesus said it starts with a thought, and whatever kind of thought or whatever kind of show or whatever kind of movie or whatever kind of relationship you're in that causes you in any way to lower your standards of sexual purity, you need to get rid of it. Period. There ain't no messing around with it. There ain't no gradual getting rid of it. Get rid of it. Jesus didn't say, well, just first put a patch over your eye. When you just blink sometimes when girls are around. He said, poke your eye out. Grab a pencil or a steak knife or something and cut. Now listen, don't go home, please, and start poking, because I'll get way too many nasty emails. But this is the point. This is how serious Jesus is. He said this, get rid of it. Don't play around with it. You have got, if there is something in your life, especially sexually, you have got
to get rid of it. Go to the next one.
So how far can I go? What can I do? I mean, that's what y'all want to know. Because, I mean, you know, you're starting to go through puberty and all this stuff, and everybody's in a relationship, and you're like, all right, so I want to know how far I can go. Because my body's telling me I need to go. That's what I want to do. And can I just tell you this right here? If these are the questions you're asking yourself, eyes up here. If these are the questions you're asking yourself, they're wrong. If these are the questions you're asking, you will fall, period. Because here's your intent. I'm going to get as close to the line as I can without crossing over it. That's what that means. It's not because you want to be holy. It's because, well, there's another H word, but that's why you ask those questions. Okay? It's because you want to get as close as you can to the line, and you want to say, all right, God, are you okay with this? And God said, if you are thinking, please don't talk to each other. God said, if you are thinking thoughts that are sexually impure, you've already committed adultery. So here's what he's saying. If you start walking towards this line, you are flirting with sin. And God seems to make it very clear that you don't need to mess with sin at all. There's a story in Genesis. Y'all know this story? It's in, did I put that up there? No, I didn't. Genesis 39. Flip over there because you need to know where this is. This is the only, period, only way for you to, this is how you attack sexual impurity right here. Okay? Go ahead and go to that next slide. There you go. Can y'all read that okay? You might need me to interpret that for you. It makes sense. You need to run away! Faster than you think you can run. Like a rabid mongoose is going to jump on your butt and bite you. You need to run away. Joseph in the Old Testament, don't lose me. Joseph in the Old Testament is the only guy that we see, really, that does this well. He's the only guy that stood in the face of sexual temptation and it didn't bite him. He's the only one. And look what he does in verse 6 and 7. Now Joseph was well built and handsome, much like myself. And after a while, his master's wife took notice of Joseph and said, "Come to bed with me." But he refused. "With me in charge," he told her, "my master does not concern himself with anything in the house. Everything he owns, he has entrusted to my care. No one is greater in this house than I am." He's saying this, Potiphar's wife, "I'm the man. I can do whatever I want in this house." But listen to this. "No one is greater than I in this house. My master has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God?" And though she spoke to Joseph day after day, he refused to go to bed with her or even be with her, even be around her. Okay? Now she goes on, and one day she runs on him, pulls him on the bed, and this is what he does. All right? Verse 15. Verse 14. "She called her household..." where did that go? Thank you. We'll just read in 11. "One day he went into the house to attend to his duties, and none of the household servants was inside. She caught him by his cloak and said, 'Come to bed with me.' But he left his cloak in her hand and ran." He ran out of the house. Why did he run? Because he was weak. And he knew that if he stuck around there and messed around with his sin, it was going to bite him. Here's what I need to tell every one of you, and you need to listen to me with your good ear. You are not strong enough. I don't care what commitment you made. I don't care if you wrote it in blood on your Bible. You are not strong enough. If you put yourself in enough tempting situations, Satan is going to bite you. And you may not end up having sex. I understand that. But you are going to mess up physically. I promise you. Because you're not... I'm not strong enough. Billy Graham's not strong enough. You can pick the greatest Christian, the most beloved saint of all times, and if you put them around sin long enough, it's going to bite them. That's why Jesus said, if you got sexual temptation somewhere, get the heck out of Dodge. And if you look at all these other guys in the Old Testament that messed up, it's because they just hung around. You look at David. David's intent was not to go on the roof one day and look at this naked woman and invite her in his house to have sex with her and then kill her husband and mess up his whole kingdom. That was not his intent. But he stood there, and instead of seeing her and running away and putting his head under the pillow and praying that God would make her put clothes on, he just hung out and said, what's she doing? She's not naked, is she? Oh, no. Oh, wait, she is. Can you believe this? Guys, come here. And he hung out. Okay? You need to run away. Now, what does that mean to you and me? What does that mean to us? That means if we are putting ourselves in stupid situations, we are going to get bit by the sexual impurity bug. Now, what are situations like that? Listen. Stop talking. If you are by yourself with a person of the opposite sex that you are whatever, dating, in love with, whatever kind of terminology you want to put on it, in the dark, you are asking for trouble. You can be watching a movie. You can be playing a game or whatever it is you do. Don't do it. You say, why? We've never messed up before. You are going to. I promise you. Well, we're just laying on the couch. Well, my hands just happened to start roaming. I mean, it wasn't my plan. But let me tell you, that's how it works. Because Satan wants you to think that you're a punk if you go hang out with your parents. Satan wants you to think you're a punk if you only do stuff in groups. Satan wants you to think that as a man, you've got to do physical stuff with a girl. And as a girl that really wants to be loved and cherished, that you've got to say yes or he'll think you don't have any value. And ultimately, then you'll start believing you don't have any value. But here's what you need to know, that is a lie from the pit of hell. Guys, if you go into, basements are of the devil. Okay, I'm just telling you. You do not need to be hanging out with your significant other in a basement unless I'm there. Okay? Or unless like her parent or your parent is sitting in between you. I'm telling you. Because here's what, it's dark in a basement. You can't hear what's going on in a basement. You got time to hear your parents saying in a basement. Okay? You know you can do whatever you want in a basement. You need to be upstairs in the living room watching Little House on the Prairie together. Okay? I'm telling you. Now why? Why am I saying this? Because obviously it is my goal to ruin your life. It is my goal for you to feel socially, to be a social outcast. Obviously that is why I'm telling you this. I'm telling you this so that years down the road, you don't come to me and say, Brian, I wish I had listened to you. Brian, I wish I had taken you seriously when you said, I need to watch how far I go. Brian, I wish I had listened to you when you said, it's not how far can I go, but how pure can I be? How much of myself can I protect? How much of myself can I save for my future mate? If y'all been at Cross Trainers, Daniel and Tia have shared that several times over the past couple weeks. I wish we had listened to our youth pastor. Every one of my friends that I was in college with, every one of them, except for one, is in ministry. And every one of them have serious regrets sexually. A couple of them had sex before marriage. Every one of them said, Brian, I wish I hadn't gone that far with a girl. I wish I could have said no. I wish I had said no. Go ahead, last slide. So what am I supposed to do? You're supposed to wait. You're supposed to wait. And you are supposed to save yourself. And I'm not just talking about sexually. For your mate that's going to come your way one day. That's what you're supposed to do. I want to read you a letter that you are going to have the opportunity to sign tonight. To my future husband. Today, I am making a very difficult choice. Girls, obviously, this is your letter. Every opportunity the world gets, it tells me to do what feels good. Today, I am making a choice to say no to the world. I am making a commitment to you and to God to pursue purity and save myself in every way for you.
I understand that my body is not my own, so I cannot give it away to whoever asks. I covenant with God to save my heart, my virginity, and all the hugs and kisses that are yours for our marriage. Guys, to my future wife, today I'm making a very difficult choice. The world tells me that if I am a real man, I should have a woman. And if I have a woman, I should be physical with her. Today I'm making a choice to say no to the world. I'm going to prove my manliness by remaining sexually pure. I'm making a commitment to you and to God, not just to abstain from sex, but to pursue purity and save myself in every way for you. I want to save all of me for you. So today I covenant with God to save my heart, my virginity, and all the hugs and kisses that are yours for our marriage. Now, what does that mean to us? What does that mean to us? It means this. The hugs and kisses part I know is throwing some of y'all off, but here's the deal. If you're going to do it, why not just do it? I'm not saying you should never hug a girl. I'm not, but here's what I'm saying. In an intimate way, as an expression of your love in a in love kind of way, just save it all. It's okay to hug. It's okay to kiss. You know what? Then it's going to be okay to do other stuff. And then it's going to be okay to do other stuff. I'm just telling you, when Laura and I got engaged, we had stayed very sexually pure. And by the time, from the 6 months that I asked her to marry her to the time we got married, things that we'd never were even tempted with really before became a serious temptation, became a desire to do things physically, okay? What I'm telling you is this. None of you are about to get married. You don't need to be putting yourself in situations. And you say, well, that's too hard of a commitment. Then don't sign it. But I'm just telling you, because my wife and I have talked about it. There was a little box I got when I was in eighth grade, I think. And all it said on it was my virginity. And on the day we got married, I gave it to that beautiful woman over there. And I know, because she's told me it was one of, if not the best gift she's ever got. Because it wasn't just about her, but it was about the fact that I thought enough to save myself for her many years before. And I said no a lot of times because I had this cool thing called my purity that I wanted her to have. That's a big deal. That's a really cool gift to be able... Now, here's the thing. You say, well, I've already given a lot away. You know what the Bible says about that? That God can wash you whiter than snow. The Bible says that if you will confess your sin and repent of it, He casts your sin as far as the east is from the west. I want to read you one little story, and then I'm going to lead you into what I want you to do tonight. This is actually from one of Laura's friends. She says this, God knows our desires. He knows how our bodies work. He created us that way. I wish that I could say that I had always felt this way. I grew up being taught that sex was bad. If you did it, you were bad. And you weren't supposed to talk about it because it was bad. All of this in an effort to persuade me not to be sexually active. So for the most part of my life, sex, kissing, physical touch, etc., etc., had held some sense of shame and guilt for me. After my first kiss, I was worried for 2 days that I was going to go to hell and that my mother would kill me. It's funny now, but it's so sad to think about the warped ways in which I viewed intimacy with males. I'm 23 when she wrote this. I didn't become a Christian until I was 16, meaning until I believed in what the Bible said about sex being awesome, but for marriage alone. I had formed my own views about sex and other stuff. My rationality was basically that sex was wrong, and there was no way that I was getting naked with anybody before he put a ring on my hand. Okay, that's good. I was scared of so many things. And she goes on to list some of these things that she was scared of. Here's her philosophy. It was, why have sex with a guy who isn't my husband when he can totally leave me high and dry the next morning? I decided that I'd much rather wait to have sex with a person whom I knew was committed to staying with me the morning after, or if nothing else, he was legally bound to do so. So you're thinking, that's great. We have another 23-year-old virgin on our hands who hasn't experienced any real temptation or done anything else other than kiss a guy. If you think that, you're wrong. What I wished I would have known is that even though I'm still a virgin, I wish I would have known I would have all these scars. When a deep physical wound heals, it leaves a pretty good scar. I've also heard it said that the heart heals like any other wound. It heals layer by layer, and it takes time. I know that I can speak for females when I say that a kiss is never just a kiss. A touch is never just a touch. Spending the night with a guy is never just spending the night with a guy. Not that it isn't true for males, but because I am a female, I speak for the feminine gender. I can say that I've never had sex. I can't, in all caps, say that I haven't given a lot of firsts. Touches and actions that I didn't realize would have an effect on me. Touches and actions that I justified to myself by saying, well, I'm not having sex. We're almost done. I may be a virgin, but I've got scars. You are nothing short of stupid to believe you can have sex, fool around, whatever, and have zero consequences. Every decision that we make has consequences. Basically, you choose your consequences, good or bad, and I can assure you that I have consequences. This is so sad. I have one ex-boyfriend whom, when I hear his voice alone, I get physically sick. Why? Because shame washes over me, head to feet, when I think about the things we gave and took from each other. I wished I would have known that hurts would heal, but that scars last to remind you of your mistakes. Don't get me wrong, I know without a doubt that God has forgiven me. But I also know that I have regrets. I know that one day I will have to look at a man whom I love more than life itself in the face and tell him about my past with other guys. And the thought that saddens me even more is that if he is anything like I was, I'll have to hear him tell me about his own scars. I'll have to hear him tell me about his own scars. Guys, you don't want to be there. You don't want to be there one day. You don't want to look back and say, that was so dumb. I messed up in the heat of the moment. I thought I loved him. I thought she loved me. Whatever. You can make a stand tonight, a simple decision, to say, I will pursue purity. And I will run after it as hard as I can, regardless of the cost. And can I tell you this, and you need to hear me and we'll be done. It is going to cost you something. I want every eye up here. Sexual purity is going to cost you something. Because everything you're going to see and hear, many of your friends are going to tell you to pursue something that is exact opposite of sexual purity. Most of the influences in your life are going to say it's okay. But it's not. Hey, listen, don't kiss because I'm telling you not to. Don't just whatever. But I'm telling you, if you start towing up to that line, you end up justifying and making the line go a little farther. And I promise you, if you mess with sin in this area of your life, you are going to have regrets. I promise you that. So here's what we're going to do tonight. Daniel's going to come up and play. We're going to sing this song called Enough. I think it's very fitting because many of us choose to be sexually impure because God's not enough. There are boxes in the back. There are these letters in the back. There's husband and wife letters on each table. This is a very private thing, very personal thing between you and your future mate that you have no idea who it is. And here's what I'm going to ask you to do. If you're convicted and you say, man, I want to take a stand for this, I want you to grab a letter. I want you to sign it. I want you to put a date on it. I want you to put it in that box. I want you to save it. If you get married in a year, 15, 50 years, you're going to have this thing, this gift. And obviously your sexual purity is not in a box, but it's a very visible, tangible thing to remind you what you're saving yourself for. Maybe you've messed up. Hey, you know what? God says repent. Confess that sin to me, turn the other way, and we'll start over. You can start your purity again tonight.
The scars won't go away. The hurt won't go away, but your forgiveness is real. And you can start it tonight. So we're just going to take a couple minutes. But do this. Take this seriously. If you say, I can't sign that, Brian. I just can't. There's no way. It's okay, just grab it and turn it off. All right. It's just a cell phone. Everybody's got one. You say, Brian, there's no way that I can sign this. Look at me, everybody up here. Don't sign it if you can't. Because this will just be another tool that you let Satan have in your life that says you're a failure. You didn't do it. I knew you wouldn't. I told you that night you wouldn't do it. But if you're saying, man, this is the real deal. I want to pursue this. I want to save as much as I can for my husband or my wife. Then would you be bold enough to go back there? Take that piece of paper. There's plenty of pens. There's plenty of boxes. Pray over it. Fold it up. Put it in that box. And save it. And by doing that, you are saving this. Your body. Your sexual purity for that someone that's out there that you're going to meet one day. With the awesome, awesome privilege to say, hey, I've got this for you. And I didn't know you, but I've been saving this just for you for a long time. Man, may God put the same burden on that other person's heart for them to say the same thing to you. So God, now as we have the opportunity to respond to you, God, would you give us courage? God, would you give us courage to sit in our seats if we're not serious about this? God, may we not do this because everybody else is, but because you are convicting our hearts in a very real way. And God, may this song that we're singing, Enough, oh, may it be true of our life, that you are enough. You are better than any relationship, anything we can do physically, that you are enough. And we will wait until you provide.